B.
The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed-Man.
Oh yeah, welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, the Ed-Man, here to give you the news for the past week. And once again, the news is the news. The fake news media ramping up to full force. It's amazing what they think that they can get away with. And amazing the lack of respect that they have for themselves. If I was a reporter, I couldn't do it. I just could not do it. I could not get up in the morning and think, oh, wow, I get to lie today. But I don't know. Maybe they justify it to themselves. Maybe in their head they go, well, Trump is so bad that we have to convince the public that he's bad. But if a guy is bad, then objectively report the bad things that are happening and let the public make up their own decision. They have made the decision, and then they're just trying to falsify evidence in order to justify their opinion. It's really amazing. Maybe some psychologists could put a word to this, but it's unbelievable to me. And you can see clearly that the media has lost its objectivity and truly does believe that they are kind of the caretakers of our opinion. They don't trust the public to make their own decisions properly, so they feel that it's their responsibility to shape the way that we think. And I'm not just guessing at this. I've seen pieces that the press will write to itself, a message to itself, basically saying that it's their responsibility to shape the way that the public thinks. And that's exactly what ends up happening. They are deciding what you should be outraged about. So you must have definitely heard, you know, the policy of the immigration policy and ripping children away at the borders. Okay, so this is this is so funny because it's a policy that has been instituted by Bill Clinton and then enforced by Obama. And I've been recently hearing some more fake news saying, well, it was technically on the books, but it wasn't until Trump's zero tolerance policy that this really became an issue. Well, then stop sharing pictures from 2014. And it's so funny because one of these pictures that I saw, it's up on this person's Twitter page, and he writes, this is what the U.S.'s immigration policy means, and he shows a picture of this kid in a cage. Well, it turns out that that picture is not actually from a shelter. It's from a protest where the parent or whoever it is, I don't know, maybe it's not even the parents, but they literally put children into cages as a protest saying, look, this is what the government does. So those pictures are not actually of a child in a immigration camp. The picture that you're looking at and that everyone is getting outraged about is actually from a protest where somebody actually put the child in a cage. But it wasn't the government. It was a protester. And when the picture was originally put up, nobody knew when the picture was put dated. Nobody knew what it was a picture of. They just assumed that it was a recent picture in an immigration camp for children, and that they were putting kids in cages. Okay, then and the person who posted it wrote something along the lines of, you know, when you have an immigration policy like this, this is what happens: kids in cages. And then somebody says, I think this picture is from 2014, and the person who posted it is like, let me check. Somebody else writes, if you don't even look at your own sources, how are we supposed to trust you? Or how are we supposed to trust the media? Of course, that question is never answered. Then the person who posts the picture comes back and says, you're right, this is from 2014, but I'm going to leave it up there because this is representative of what's happening today. So he admits that it was from 2014. But then other Twitter users post pictures of the same child from different angles, and you can see that it was protesters that had put the child in a cage, not the government that had done that. And no response. The person doesn't take it down. The person just ignores that and leaves it up. So these people are lying on purpose. I mean, even after they understand there's no correction, there's no update, they don't admit that they were wrong in a lot of these cases, you know, unless there's massive public pressure. So as if that one wasn't bad enough, you're going to love this one. You are going to love this one because, you know, I've been telling people, and amazingly, people just haven't heard about it. I can't believe it because the initial story was so famous, but the correction, nobody knows, nobody's reporting it. It's incredible to me. So here it is. So I'm sure that you've seen the original story. A Honduran child and her mother are stopped at the border, and a photographer has taken a picture of the child crying as the mother and child are separated. Okay, and so now this is, you know, has sparked a huge outcry against separating the children from their parents at the border. So I guess if you're going to put somebody in jail, just put them in jail together. Great, that's good. You know, the reason that the separation happens is because people were speaking out about them being detained together originally. And now that they, and they were getting lawsuits because they were holding adults and children together. So now that they separated them, and it was Democrats that separated them, not Trump. That's completely ridiculous that they're trying to put this on Trump. They now want them to be separate, to be detained together again. Okay, you know, I mean, anything to make Trump look bad. Just admit that it doesn't matter to you whether they're detained or whether they're separated or whatever. The liberals just want unfettered immigration into the country, unchecked immigration into the country. And immigration isn't even a good word because it sounds like they're processed. They really just want open borders. You know, let's not pretend that they have any goal other than that. Just like their BS stance on gun control, right? They say, well, we just want this bump stocks regulated. No, they don't. They want to ban guns. That is their ultimate goal. And they will sit up there and they'll lie to you and they'll pretend that it isn't, but that is exactly what they want. So here's one of the typical spins on this story.
It's an image that defines a crisis. A child crying as she and her family are detained by U.S. immigration officials after crossing the southern border. The photographer who took the shot says the child was traveling with her mother for a month after fleeing Honduras.
When they went to body search her against the vehicle, they asked her to put down her child. And right then, in that moment, the little girl broke into tears. You know, it's not unusual for toddlers in any circumstance to have separation anxiety. But I think this particular situation with the separation of families leads and gives a new meaning to that phrase. And for me to take these pictures, scenes that I'd seen before, but with the knowledge that these parents and their children would soon be in separate detention facilities, made it hard for me personally as a journalist, as a human being, and especially as a father.
Do you hear that? I mean, can you get any more heart-wrenching? Right now, this is emotional manipulation because none of this is real, by the way. So I'll get to the explanation of this in just a second. But before you pick up pitchforks and start putting setting fire to torches, listen to the rest of this. Amazing. Now, CNN has a story on this. And it says, this is by crack reporter A.J. Willingham, CNN, updated 6:55 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday, June 21st, 2018. A child's anguish meets America's indifference on new Time cover. CNN, the Trump administration's policy that effectively separated families crossing the U.S. border has held up a big glaring mirror to America's moral character. And Time magazine's latest cover, the reflection is met with indifference in the face of human suffering. In the stark photo illustration, the towering figure of Trump looms over a sobbing child who is the subject of a now iconic photograph taken recently by Pulitzer Prize-winning photographer John Moore. That's the person that you heard in the clip in the previous clip that I played. Welcome to America, the illustration reads. Guess what, guys? This Honduran girl, the literal poster child of children being ripped away from their parents at the border, being separated from their parents at the border, was never separated. That's right. It's fake flippin' news. Here is the real story. Exclusive. This is from the DailyMail.com, Saturday, June 23rd, 2018. Wait, that's not when the story was written. But, here it is. June 22nd, 2018 is when the story is written. This is by Daniel Bates and Karen Ruiz. Exclusive. They're together and safe. Father of Honduran 2-year-old who became the face of family separation crisis reveals daughter was never separated from her mother, but the image of her in tears at U.S. border control broke his heart. Dennis Javier Varela Hernandez, say that three times fast, spoke out about the status of his wife Sandra, 32, and daughter Yanela, 2. So that's the name of the girl. Yanela became the face of the immigration crisis after a Getty photographer snapped a photo of her in tears. Speaking to DailyMail.com, Hernandez says he still has not been in direct contact with his wife Sandra because he does not have a way of communicating. Dennis said that a Honduran official in the U.S. told him that his wife and daughter are together and doing fine. Sandra was part of a group that were caught by Border Patrol agents after making their way across the Rio Grande River on a raft. She set out on her country from Puerto Cortez, Honduras, to the U.S. at 6 a.m. on June 3rd and allegedly paid $6,000 for a coyote. Hernandez said he did not support his wife's decision to make the journey with her young daughter in her arms and never got to properly say goodbye. Well, isn't that interesting? By the way, a coyote, she didn't actually pay $6,000 for a coyote. A coyote is a word that they use, I've seen a lot lately, so you probably already know. It's a smuggler that gets people across the border. A lot of times people will pretend that they'll do the job of a coyote and actually use the child and then kill the child and stick him in the desert. Meanwhile, they get in as a into the country. So, you know, a lot of these guys are really, really bad people, as Trump would say. So isn't that funny? So she kidnaps the child. She had been detained previously, by the way, in 2013. So she was deported from the U.S. in 2013, previously. And he says basically she wanted to come over here to live the American dream. So whatever that means. He's got a job there in Honduras. I didn't support it. I asked her why. Why would you want to put our little girl through that? But it was her decision at the end of the day. So, so she leaves the family, takes her favorite child, I guess. I don't know. The couple has three other children, son Wesley, 14, and daughter Cindy, and Brianna, 6. The kids see what's happening. They're a little worried, but I don't try to bring it up that much. They know their mother and sister are safe now. I don't have any resentment for my wife, but I do think it was irresponsible of her to take the baby with her in her arms because we don't know what could happen. All right, so there you go. And they have pictures of the girl when she was younger. And fake news, folks. Fake news, huh? Too funny. So they were never actually separated. And she only took one of the kids, so I don't know. But I have a feeling that probably she had come into the country before, was deported, and then said, well, now this time I'll bring a kid with me, and then they won't make me leave. Just amazing. And then this is the poster child now. I mean, how ironic is that? That the story, that the narrative that they're pushing isn't even real. So, you know, then you wonder why whenever you hear one of these garbage stories that your mind kind of turns off. You know, they say Republicans are mean. I think that maybe Republicans are just used to hearing this crap. And they go, this probably isn't even real. And they just kind of turn it off. Not because, I mean, if it's real, of course it's heart-wrenching. But if it's not even real and it's just being used as a political thing, just to make you feel a certain way, but it's not even representative of what's actually happening. That is not right. And Corey Lewandowski got in trouble earlier because he was being told a story. Some liberal was like, oh, this person was not only being detained and ripped away from their parents, but she also had Down syndrome. And Corey Lewandowski is like, womp, womp. And then the guy's like, did you just say womp, womp? Sir, how dare you? Da, da, da. He goes off on this tangent. And Lewandowski later on tries to explain, I wasn't saying it to the story of the girl. I was saying it to the guy. I mean, who can blame them? They're using these stories to try to shape policy, but then the stories aren't even real. So you hear something like this and you're, I mean, look, we can't let people in unfettered. So when somebody tells you, oh my God, a girl at the border was ripped away from her parents and she had Down syndrome, you have to maintain a level of objectivity. Otherwise you'll go, oh no, well then don't separate them. Just let them in. Right? But you can't do that. You can't just let people in. If you let emotion rule you, then that's going to happen, right? You're just going to just fall for anything. And it's hard. It's hard to have a mind that's strong enough not to get swayed by these stories. And, you know, I hate when they demagogue immigrants and they say, well, look at these people that were killed by immigrants and these families that were killed by immigrants. But I mean, you have to give balancing stories going the other way. I mean, I don't like demagoguery, but you can see why people do it, because it works for on both sides. It works. The thing is that the Democrats are so good at it, right? Because they can say any hateful thing, right? They can call you a racist, they can call you a misogynist, they can call you whatever names they want to. And now, you know, you have to defend yourself against that. Whereas I don't think a Republican's, and I'm speaking in generals here, I understand that, but I don't think a typical Republican's first idea is to come out and to say that against somebody else. Probably because most Republicans are not actually racist and bigoted, and most Democrats are. I mean, who else other than a racist would think that a black person is not capable of getting a photo ID, right? they're just like incapable of functioning as a normal human being. So going back to Corey Lewandowski, in addition to taking flack for saying womp womp to a liberal sob story, which probably isn't even real, then he also got flack because he said, you know, they said, well, Trump can change this policy with a stroke of the pen. So the Democrats are just obstructing, right? So they were trying to change the policy through legal means in the Congress. And the Democrats said, no, we're not going to do that. Make Trump do it. Trump has to do it. And Lewandowski said, well, he can't do that. And then later on, Trump did do that. And so everyone said, well, Lewandowski is a liar, and Trump was a liar for saying that he couldn't do that. Guys, he signed an executive order basically saying that they won't be separated anymore, that the children won't be separated from the parents. So if he signed an executive order, guys, that's not a law. That's an executive order, okay? Executive orders, from my understanding, were meant to institute things like troop movements, right? Things that the president actually has control over. Now, Obama came out and he created an executive order for the first time, which mandated a law. And I think, what was it to do with? I think like the healthcare bill or something like that. And even Saturday Night Live made fun of him for using executive orders to create actual, you know, laws that people have to follow. It had never been done to that degree before. So Trump goes ahead and he does it. But I think he knows, and I think most people know, that that's not the right way to do it, and that should be unconstitutional. Now, Molly Ball, who is the Time national political correspondent and also a CNN correspondent, makes this little speech on CNN when she's, you know, asked, and is basically saying that Trump is given too much of a pass on things. So listen to this. You know, she has every chance in the world to say that this story didn't happen the way that people are taking it. But, of course, it doesn't mention that and says this.
Because what we have seen with Trump really since the campaign is he does or says something outrageous. There's a huge controversy that erupts and everyone gets really, really mad. And then something else happens.
There's a new bright, shiny object.
Something else that he has done. And, you know, I don't think that we in the media are wrong to react the way we do when each of these is a big deal, right? But people then move on.
Yeah, people move on because they find out that the story isn't real. See, she left out a very important component in the process that she described, which is that Trump does or says something outrageous, and then they cover it, and then people forget about it and move on to the next outrageous thing that he says or does. What she failed to mention was the part when people figure out that the story is fake, and then they move on. See, they report Trump saying or doing something outrageous, and they manipulate public opinion. When the public figures out that they've been manipulated and that the story isn't real or isn't as bad as it's been reported to be, then they move on to something else, of course. But she forgot that part. And, you know, it's up to the people to figure a lot of this stuff out. I have seen the story debunking this posted on Times Twitter. I have seen lots of memes have come out. And, you know, the people, the conservatives, many conservatives who are connected to the internet are basically kind of throwing this story out, trying to get people to see it and read it. But I have not seen hide nor hair of this, and I'm looking for it. I can't find any corrections in the mainstream, as they say, the mainstream media on this. And it really is shameful, isn't it? It's shameful. And then they try to blame it on Donald Trump. And they say Donald Trump is destroying the media. Well, I mean, I guess you could make the argument that indirectly he's destroying the media. But he's destroying the media the same way that if someone gets mad at something and then they put their hand through a wall, it's the same way. It's like saying that broke my wall, right? You know, the... You know, your boss gets you mad. You know, he says you got to come in for work today, and you're like, "Damn it!" And you put your hand through the wall, and then you say, "My boss broke my wall." No, it doesn't work like that. You broke the wall because you were angry, and so the same thing is happening now here, isn't it? I mean, the media is mad, and I don't even know why. I don't know why they're mad at Trump. I mean, maybe it's because they tried so hard to make sure that he wasn't elected, and they just felt powerless when he was elected anyway. I mean, they put out so many stories. They had giant celebrities come out and tell you, don't vote for that guy, and he still got in. And maybe they're trying to right a wrong. Maybe they're trying to make up for that error. But, you know, they're journalists. They should be able to see enough stories of great things that he's done to be able to tell that he's not a racist. I don't know why they're so mad at him. He's been doing a pretty good job. I'm not even like a super pro Trump, you know, Trump is everything sort of a guy, but he's been doing great. So I don't know what the problem is, frankly. And they're doing the public a huge disservice because, you know, when the Inquirer or what's it, World News Daily or, you know, one of those scandal rags puts out fake news, you expect it. You know, I mean, you see Bat Boy on the cover and you're like, oh, that's probably not true. You know, I'll read the story, but, you know, I don't believe that probably UFO abducted this person or whatever. But when Time Magazine comes out with it, I mean, Time Magazine used to be like such a reliable source. Time, Newsweek, you know, any of the big news channels, CBS, NBC, ABC, these guys used to be who you went to and you believe it when it comes out. That's why if you spoke against something in the news, you were like a conspiracy nut, right? You're like, God, no, they fact check things. You know, we can really trust them. They're truly reliable. But now I don't believe anything that comes out here without looking it up at multiple sources. You can't. And that's not Trump's fault. It's their fault for doing it. And they riled people up. Look at this. Sarah Sanders got kicked out of the Red Hen restaurant in, where is this at? This is Lexington, Virginia. And Jake Foley Schultz, who says he's a waiter at the Red Hen, shared a post on Facebook saying his boss kicked out the press secretary and her party. Apparently, it's because they didn't want to serve her and her party out of moral conviction. Well, it's their restaurant. They can do what they want. They're now at 2.5 stars on Yelp. Actions do have consequences. And I guess if you're kicking people out based on your moral conviction, you'll never be able to serve anyone from Time Magazine, CNN, MSNBC, etc., etc. It is that time again